Thank you, everyone. Today, I'm actually going to present long-term trend of soil organic carbon, nitrogen, and crop yield as influenced by crop residue and nitrogen management practices. So I'm trying to relate long-term soil carbon and nitrogen change and crop yield on Pendleton long-term, one of the Pendleton long-term experiments. Then, relating to the Pendleton long-term experiments, first I would like to bring you to the dry land environment. If we look at the old dry lands, it occupies almost 40% of the old land mass, and then 80% of the cultivated area. All agriculture area is either at least non-irrigated area. So that's 80% of the agricultural area, and it feeds almost 50% of the old population. Half of the old population rely on non-irrigated area. And then those dry lands spread on all arid, semi-arid, and humid, sub-humid environment. And then out of these three type of the land masses, arid and semi-arid area, conservation of soil organic carbon is very challenging, because on those arid and semi-arid area, which have less than 700 millimeter precipitation, the biomass production is lower than actually the carbon loss rate. So biomass production or precipitation is limiting biomass production in that situation. So it's important to maintain soil organic carbon or conserve soil organic, mitigate soil organic carbon loss in that ecosystems. So improved understanding of how soil organic carbon and nitrogen changes on those ecosystems would help farmers to develop management practices that would sustain agricultural productivity in those regions. Therefore, we analyzed long-term trend of soil carbon and nitrogen on winter wheat summer fallow system at Columbia Basin Agricultural Research Center near Pendleton, Oregon. Then this experiment was established in 1931, nearly after 50 years of breaking native prairie, after first disturbance in 1890s. And then the experiment has two series of nine treatments and replicated two times. Of course, at that time it was still the concept of statistics and randomized experiment was not very mature. So the nine treatments are orderly arranged. So order arrangement of nine treatments, but of course we have two phases of the experiments. So that will allow us to monitor crop yield each year on wheat fallow system. Then there were nine treatments include fall burning of wheat residue, spring burning of wheat residue, no burning of wheat residue, manual application and P-vine application. And spring and fall burning have three different rates of nitrogen application. So SB0 indicates no nitrogen addition, 45 kg nitrogen application per hectare, and 90 kg nitrogen application per hectare. Then manure was applied as 22 megagram per hectare, and then P was applied 2.24 megagram per hectare each crop. So one time in 2 years in each plot. So those are the treatments, and soil samples were collected from 0 to 60 centimeters soil depth nearly in 10 years interval. So sometimes 15 years, sometimes 5 years, but nearly 10-year interval, and recently we moved to 5-year interval from 2009. And then wheat yield was determined by combined harvesting a central portion of the plot. So I'm using these two figures, so what we used in the past and then how we changed into the mechanized system, but combined harvester in all cases. And then trend of soil organic carbon nitrogen was analyzed using autoregression or autoregressive integrated moving average model. Instead of using ANOVA approach on this one, because the reason behind that is earlier measurements, like 1930, 1940s measurements, some of the data we don't have replicated values. So just average of those treatments. And using this regression approach or autoregression approach or time series analysis approaches, we could skip that part, and then I just use average values for all treatments over time, and then analyze the change over time. And then this autoregressive integrated moving average model, that is actually, that have three components. We identify the treatments, and then model or measure the values, and then we can also forecast using statistical approaches. So I could predict the potential change in yield or potential change in soil organic carbon in the future, but it's still a statistical model, not like system dynamic models or other kind of prediction models. And in this presentation, I'm not including all nine treatments from these experiments. I will be using only four treatments. The reason behind selecting these four treatments is that nitrogen application rate on this experiment did not make significant difference on soil organic carbon change or soil in the trend of crop yield over time. So we are using fall burning of crop residue, which actually includes burning of crop residue in September, October, and then no burning of crop residue. So crop residue was incorporated. Pea vine was incorporated along with crop residue, and manure was added. Then when we look at the crop yield trend, long-term crop yield trend, using this ERIMA model, so I listed the model what I used for different treatments. So this is the model values. But overall, we can see declining trend. And then one important thing to notice here is variety change in 1967. That was a major change in this long-term experiment, at least on these treatments. We had another revision in 1979, but that does not include on this presentation, so other treatments. And then overall decreasing trend on this yield, and then on other side, when we introduced semi-dwarf wheat varieties, I will actually go on this one. So when we introduced new variety, we could see a little bit increase in crop production, but ultimately it's following the declining trend. So here, if we look at the medium tall wheat variety, this fall-burn treatment, fall-burn treatment have the highest rate of soil yield, crop yield loss, so 36 kg per hectare per year, and then no-burn treatment, 30 kg. Then pea-vine and manure application minimized the yield loss, but still yield was lost. And then yield was declining. And when we introduced this new semi-dwarf varieties, that increased crop yield for a certain period, like 5 to 10 years. But after that, this soon after that, fall burn and no-burn treatment started declining yield, and then which was about constant in 20 kg per hectare in both treatments. And then pea vine and manure application, these two treatments increased yield for a fairly longer time, maybe 10, 15, another 10 to 15 years, and then it started declining. And then if we look at the crop yield and manure treatment, that's sharply declining in the last 15, 20 years. Then when we look at the soil organic carbon trend, soil organic carbon is also decreasing in all treatments, in fall burn treatment, spring, fall burn treatments, no burn treatment, pea vine application, and then manure treatment is maintaining or slightly increasing soil organic carbon content. So this leads me to think about in fall burn and no burn treatments, especially decline in soil organic carbon is very well correlated with declining crop yield because both all follows the linear trend. So that kind of explains what is going on. And then pea vine treatments also decreasing, and then the slope, the quadratic slope on the yield decline in pea vine is purely explained by this change in soil organic carbon in 0 to 30 centimeter soil depth. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. This carbon was measured in 0 to 30 centimeter soil depth. Then when we look at the soil nitrogen in 0 to 30 centimeter, this follows the declining trend similar to the trend of soil carbon. And then in manure treatment, we could see a little bent in the last 15, 20 years. That's decreasing. The trend of soil nitrogen is decreasing in last 15 or last 20 years. So that might explain like what is going on in the manure treatment, that decline in nitrogen. Total nitrogen content might explain crop yield decline. Then we also analyzed soil organic carbon in 30 to 60 centimeter depth, and then this lower soil depth is continuously depleting soil organic carbon across all treatments, and then that also includes manure application treatment. And if we look at the soil total nitrogen, that's also decreasing, but a little bit smaller slope. So both this carbon and nitrogen decline from lower soil depth combined with changes in soil carbon and nitrogen in the top soil profile may explain the yield. We actually don't know what is going on, but I would explain when soil organic carbon and nitrogen changes, it changes a lot of other soil properties associated with that, and then ecosystem services function like in this dry land, it might have changed the water holding capacity or water storage in the deeper soil profile, and then that might impact wheat yield. So, and then next step, I was interested, like, if this carbon change continues to decline, carbon change continues for another several years, then what will be the soil organic carbon situation? And then I calculated this decay rate using first-order kinetics. And then this indicates that there is a difference in decay rate under these different treatments. For example, no burn treatment actually had the highest amount of soil organic carbon decay rate. Then after that, fall burn treatment, feebine and manure application, those treatments. Then soil organic carbon at equilibrium, if we look at this column, this column indicates if this trend continues for another 56 years, then soil organic carbon will be less than 6 megagram on that on fall burn treatment. So equilibrium carbon is different. So it indicates there will be a different soil organic carbon content at equilibrium, and then equilibrium period is also varies from 50 to 80 years, 56 to 84 years. And then it shows manure will increase a little bit amount of carbon. All other treatments are going to lose soil organic carbon. And then this indicates potential yield loss in the future. And then more unsustainability. Our sustainability is more threatened in this region, in this dry region. So in conclusion, or in summary, what we can say, yield trend of crop yield follows declining trend with a decline in soil organic carbon and nitrogen. Increase in wheat yield occurred only after introduction of semi-dwarf varieties, but that varietal change did not offset, did not mitigate the problem of yield loss on this region. So decrease in yield in manure system indicates that soil nitrogen may be driving, or I could also say deeper profile carbon and nitrogen storage, that also might have indirectly impacted on crop yield. And then greater decay rate of soil organic carbon in no-burn and fall-burn treatments than manure treatment indicates the possibility of further decrease in soil organic matter, which threatens sustainability of wheat production in this in Pacific Northwest, or in general in dry land, which follows this kind of trend, soil organic carbon decline. With that, I would like to thank you, everyone being here, especially my advisor, Stephen, is here. And then I would like to recognize REACH, Regional Approach to Climate Change Project, for providing funding to do this research, and then to be here. And then all OSU, Oregon State University, CBARC professors, and then former researchers who collected that data so that I could present here today. And then USDA, AIS service, their help. With that, We can take questions.
Okay. Any question for the presenter?
Do you have any tissue data that suggests that the nitrogen content is going down in the varieties between treatments or over time?
I don't think we do have that data. We have the samples, but not analyzed data.
So it might be an interesting way to separate the chemical from the physical property.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? Okay.